The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan. This week, Alyssa Mastromonaco, Megan Gailey, Rechna Fruchtbaum, and Rachel Bonetta join me to tackle the following questions. What do you do when your hopes for the future of your favorite candidate fade? How do you reconcile being a sports fan and a feminist? Why is stick to sports a ridiculous thing to demand of athletes? And what kind of lunatic hates all birds? Answers to these and more right now. Hey, everybody. We've got trouble right here in River City with a capital C, and that rhymes with V, and that stands for coronavirus. Hopefully that extremely dorky dad joke displaced whatever awful version of my corona that has been stuck in your head for days. On a lighter note, with a second Super Tuesday on the books and Biden racking up wins, I've been thinking a lot about what to do when the unstoppable force of the progressive movement hits the immovable object of voters who just want things to go back to normal and nothing more. So here to discuss that is my friend, former White House Deputy Chief of Staff under President Barack Obama and dancer to music that only she can hear, Alyssa Mastromonaco.
Hello.
Hey, Alyssa, I have a question for you.
Yes, Erin.
Have you ever solved a mystery?
One or two in my time.
Like a kid mystery or like a Murder, She Wrote style mystery?
I mean, I'm talking like Clue in the Crumbling Wall, Nancy Drew type mystery.
Well, this might be a good Nancy Drew mystery for you to solve. Okay. I'm going to read you some results from primaries from a specific demographic in 2016 and 2020. And I want you to help me solve why there was a difference. Okay. So the demographic is white men in Michigan. Now in 2016, white men voted for Sanders over Clinton, 62% to 37%. That's Hillary Clinton. In 2020, white men in Michigan voted for Sanders over Biden, 49 to 46%. So that's a pretty big swing, right?
Pretty big swing.
Okay. Another demographic, white men in Missouri. In 2016, Sanders was the victor over Clinton in that demographic, 61% to 38%. And in 2020, Biden actually beat Sanders 49 to 45%. Can you help me solve the mystery of why that happened?
Erin, I'm going to go with a take on one of my favorite old Nancy Drew books.
Okay.
The Secret in the Old Vagina.
I don't think I ever met. Was that like a limited edition one? I don't think I ever read The Secret in the Old Vagina.
It was the PG-13.
Yeah. I mean, it appears just that's one stat, and I hate when people totally cherry pick it. So I admit that I'm doing something that I sometimes hate when other people do it. But I think it's really telling because it confirms a lot of things that I feared on two levels. One, that people would not vote for a woman for president just because she was a woman, even if they were moderates. And two, my vision of the progressive movement that Bernie had built, which was somewhat bolstered by his success in the Midwest, like in Michigan and in Wisconsin and in Minnesota, was actually me attributing sexism to the progressive movement falsely.
I mean, though, let's add like just a smidge, just a sprinkle of I don't even know what it would be a sprinkle of, but a sprinkle of the, like, at least like the one thing we have to remember is that like the threat of Donald Trump back then seemed so preposterous that maybe people really were. I mean, maybe now it's just like fucking Donald Trump is so terrible. We're surrounded by cooties that could be very bad for us. Mm-hmm. And people are just like, you know what? I don't know. I mean, I think you're right. I'm just trying to find reasons for it sort of to not be true because it's a real fucking bummer.
I mean, it looks to me like given the choice, those demographics as a whole will choose a man over a woman. And then also given a choice, those people, the same people will choose a white man who is not Jewish over a Jewish man or a real progressive or a socialist. And it just.
Even though like the issues that he's supporting aren't really socialism.
No, they're normal Europe stuff. Like
it's just like Scandinavia shit.
He should just rebrand himself instead of a democratic socialist, call him a every other civilized country in the worldist.
Yes.
I mean,
with low maternal mortality rates.
Yeah. I mean, Alyssa, what are we going to do about the white men? What are we going to do about them?
Are any of them okay?
Some men are okay. I think
some men are okay.
Some men are okay. Let's put that on a shirt.
I'd wear it.
I would wear it too. I think I don't want to lump people together completely. I mean, obviously we're a country made up of individuals, but big groups of those individuals that fall into the same categories seem to behave in a way that's.
I mean, is it fair for us to say, not really coming out of the closet, so to speak, that we are fundamentally democratic socialists?
I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but
I would.
I also I don't like labeling myself. You know, I don't.
I mean,
I sat at all the lunch tables in high school. You know, I was in every clique. There was 40 kids in my class. There was one clique, but it was. I think that the issues that I support align in almost all cases with issues that people on the very progressive end of the Democratic Party support. I will say that. But here's the thing, Alyssa, do you think that when we're all talking about electability and all these people worried about, you know, who's electable, who's not, do you think they were just kind of subtweeting the fact that they knew that white men wouldn't support somebody like Elizabeth Warren?
I think there's a little bit of that.
How are you doing with her dropping out?
I was very sad, truly sad. I mean, the thing is, it's like because I've been on so many campaigns and because I think I have a string of what's called hyper empathy, which is like I feel other people's pain too much, which like isn't a compliment. It's actually maybe some form of narcissism.
Do you get really nervous during the national anthem at sporting events because you're worried they're going to mess up?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for that. You know what I mean? I'm like, you can do it. You got this. You got this. But, you know, so I of course feel bad. And it's like, you know, it's all also a symptom of who you follow online. You know, I'm like a very big supporter and enjoyed following the Warren organizers out in Iowa and New Hampshire because they were so fucking plucky and energetic and fucking positive and into their shit that it made me sort of believe in her, I think, even more.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's like, look, for me, like if I were to lay all my policies out and what I believe and what I hope for, which is that, you know, we have a government that wants to see all citizens thrive, have the tools to thrive at least. You know, I definitely fall in the, you know, Bernie EW bucket.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I think that she just had, like, you can understand how taking all the drama back to 2016, how people could feel somewhat polarized towards Bernie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was really like no reason for that. I mean, for fuck's sake, EW even endorsed Hillary back then. So I really guess I thought that she was the more perfect messenger.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people were like, actually, you have like plans and you're doing a good job, so we're just like not here for it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really ick. She didn't do anything.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I think the people,
I mean, like she didn't do anything to precipitate her. There wasn't like a moment or a gaffe or a huge failing that sort of precipitated her decline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was just that sort of, it's just that sort of thing where it's like, we'll never really know the full unquantifiable extent that sexism played in the failure of the campaign of Elizabeth Warren, not failure, but the end of the campaign of Elizabeth Warren. We'll never know. And we'll never fully know, like, whether people's decision to support Bernie over Hillary in 2016 and then Biden over Bernie in 2020 had more to do with sexism than it did to do with fear of change and just wanting to get back to normal again. But Elizabeth Warren dropping out is some bad news, but there are some glimmers of good news.
Green shoots.
First of all, in Arizona, Mark Kelly polling ahead of Senator Martha McSally for Senate. That's great. We want Martha McSally to lose. She's bad.
Bye, bitch.
Exactly. And by bitch, bitch is a word that can apply to men or women. Like, we are
absolutely
right. Like, for example, Jesse Waters of Fox News is often the wrongest bitch in the game. He is a bitch as much as any other bitch is a bitch. Okay. Also, another green shoot, Montana Governor Steve Bullock running for Senate.
Ding, ding, ding.
A possible pickup. He would be a great senator, and I'm excited to see him win. And Bernie Sanders lives to fight another day.
He lives. He lives to what the Arizona debate, it looks like.
Yeah. What do you think is going to happen at the Arizona debate? If Bernie is, you know, Bernie had big losses on Super Tuesday. A lot of people were wondering what was going to happen, but he announced on Wednesday he was staying in.
So you want to hear my political witchery?
Yes.
Because I have a deep feeling. So if you're in Bernie's campaign, you've got to know you're like, it's like looking less and less likely, right? Like, realistically. Now, all the people who are calling for him to get out, like, it is just like March. Like, I think it's completely reasonable for him to want to stay in through the debate and potentially the next round of primaries. All of this has happened very fast. But my belly, we know my belly is very alert. My belly tells me that he wants to, it's just the two of them in the debate. I think he wants to press Biden to take strong positions on things so that he can at least say when he does potentially drop out that he had an impact. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That he's going to sit there and be like, you know, in this interview, like if I'm Bernie, I'd be like, you know, in this interview, you said that if Medicare for All were passed by the House and Senate, that you ambiguously said you might not sign it. Like, do you not believe in Medicare for All? Now, look, when you have two people with different views that are pressed, it's got to be a yes or no answer when there are only two of you for mm-hmm. all intents and purposes. So that's my theory, Aaron. My theory is that Bernie will stay in through Arizona. He's going to push, you know, it is sort of the live action role play version of the platform argument in 2016 mm-hmm. that he's just going to like bring it front and center and say, this is what like at least 30% of the party believes in these things. Do you believe in them too? And I think that we'll see there's probably a lot more agreement than we see on Twitter or cable television. That's my witchery.
Mm-hmm. Here's my witchery.
Okay.
I think that Bernie Sanders is a much stronger debater and more consistent debater than Joe Biden. I think when Joe Biden is on, he's very good. But I think that on this campaign trail, he has been inconsistent when it comes to how he expresses himself. Sometimes he seems a little bit scattered. Sometimes he seems like he's perfectly normal and aware of what's going on and able to formulate a thought calmly and succinctly. But I think Bernie has been consistently able to stick to his message in a way that Biden hasn't. So I think it could happen. And this is, again, I have just as much business prognosticating as anybody else who reads the news and watches the news. But this is just,
at least we admit it.
This is just me, a person who has paid attention to both candidates and who likes Bernie for many reasons. One of them is that he's a great communicator. I think that the debate could be a really dangerous time for Joe Biden, and it could be a Hail Mary pass for Bernie Sanders. And I think it'll be interesting. I'll watch. I will be weary, but I will watch.
Oh, God, I wish we were together.
I know.
our bi-coastalness is such a drag on nights like that.
I know. It totally is. I mean, air travel's not going to happen for a while.
Fuck no. Sorry. No, I'll text you.
We'll text and not touch our faces while we're texting. But I want to close. Let's close the news on a positive note. At least Harvey Weinstein is like probably going to prison for 23 years.
23 years. Let's say not enough, but definitely a fucking step in the right direction.
Yeah, for sure. And Alyssa, also, do you have a toast or a roast this week?
I really don't. I was too emotionally drained.
Okay. Well, I have a toast. And this
is good.
It's, you know, I hate to be a homer here. I support all teachers, but my sister is a teacher in the St. Paul Public Schools in St. Paul, Minnesota. She teaches ESL. And this week, 3,000 members of the St. Paul Federation of Educators, Local 28, went on strike in St. Paul because the district wouldn't meet their demands for better staffing when it comes to mental health and multilingual education and a couple of other things. And they're on the line again today. And I just wanted to support the St. Paul Federation of Educators. And I wanted to support my sister and teachers who are out there. We see you and we hope that you get what you want. So solidarity.
Aaron, I got to tell you something. I knew about that. You didn't even tell me. And I knew that happened because you know what? I was in Minneapolis this week.
You should have gone and like picketed with the teachers. They're a real fun group.
Thought about it. But Aaron, I have to tell you, people in Minneapolis, they love you.
Oh, thanks.
They want you to come visit. We did an event for Pfeiffer's book and people were very encouraging of us to do a news segment from Minneapolis.
Well, I think that if people love and support hysteria, they should consider supporting the educators of St. Paul Public Schools.
Yeah, go get online.
Right now. And it was also my sister's birthday on Monday, on the 10th. Yes. And she celebrated her birthday. I was like, happy birthday. And she texted me back a picture of herself with a sign that said, strike. And I was like, wait, what?
Have we all just lost our minds? Because I spent my 44th birthday at an Antonio Delgado town hall in upstate New York.
Oh my God. Well, my birthday this year, I think, falls during one of the conventions. So let's see what'll happen.
Oh, it's going to be wild.
I don't know. Hopefully we'll be able to, maybe hopefully we won't be able to travel by then. I would actually be fine if there weren't the conventions. The conventions are like, I'll go,
antiquated,
but they're...
Right?
They're
like, what do they really do?
They're terrible. It's all they're terrible anyway. But that being said, I'm excited to travel to Wisconsin, perhaps. Okay. Well, Alyssa, thanks for talking to me today. It's a sad day, but hopefully things will get better.
Onward.
Onward. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. We're back. We've reached the part of the show where I'm no longer sitting alone having a phone conversation with someone thousands of miles away. It's personal political. Let me bring in the women that are sitting with me today to talk about this very fun topic that I've wanted to talk about for a long time. First, she's a comedian whose album My Dad Paid for This is now available. You have to think about the title because it means multiple things. It's Megan Gailey.
Wow. It's so, it's just, I'm a person of the people for sure with a title like that. You know, I'm just an everywoman. But my dad likes it, so he has paid for a lot of things in my life too. Like he's done a lot for me, and I appreciate it. And that's the least I could do.
I think it's also funny that you're dressed kind of like a Southeast Asian dictator's wife, right?
Wow! Oh my God, I was getting Clueless. I kept being like Twiggy, but it is very. I'll take that.
It's
yeah,
like it's like Alexis from Schitt's Creek,
yeah,
hanging out with Imelda Marcos.
People have been telling me I have a lot of voted for Bloomberg energy.
What people? Those are. Very,
you need to cut them out of your life.
I know, but I just say that as, yeah, my threads look good.
I agree. And next, special treat for you today. They are the co-hosts of the new Crooked Media podcast, Hall of Shame. It's Rechna Fruchtbaum and Rachel Bonetta.
Nailed it.
Hi.
Thanks for having us, guys. This is exciting.
I know. It's exciting. I wanted to do a sports episode for a long time, just because, well, I think, well, Megan, I knew, was a big-time sports fan. I grew up watching sports, and everybody kind of encounters it because it's such a big part of culture.
Right.
But also, as, like, a feminist or as, like, a pro-female empowerment person, sometimes I bump up against fandom within a world that that makes it difficult to love sometimes. So I want to kind of unpack some of the complicated aspects of that and unpack like I'm a college lecturer. Like I just lectured at UCLA.
Yeah, you are. Whoa. What are you talking about? You are now a college lecturer.
I got recognized while I was washing my hands in the bathroom. Oh. But she didn't say anything to me. She just DM'd me afterwards.
I love those.
But I was like washing my hands and I was about to rinse, but I was like, she's not rinsing and I can't rinse before she rinses. So I just like, it became a standoff for who could like wash their hands the longest amount of time. And then, I rinsed my hands and I was like, that was weird. But it turns out she wanted to say hi, but just didn't.
That's sweet.
That was sweet.
That's really nice.
My hands are clean.
Does this mean that you went to the bathroom while she was in there? Because that's, you know, that's a different story.
Oh,
Were you just washing your hands?
No, I like peed.
I don't like peeing or doing the other one that I won't even, the unmentionables in public.
What? Oh, I go wild. I go,
peeing? I'll come in and see feet and I'm like, oh, I can wait it out.
Oh, I'm like a piece of trash. I'll go anywhere.
For real? Oh, wherever. I can't do it.
Doesn't matter.
I think so. Wow.
I don't love peeing outside, but it's not even like the nakedness. It's like the dribbling.
I'll pee out side.
Yeah,
it's just not in front of
the
anyone.
Lack of toilet paper.
Yeah.
There's an art to it, guys. Like, you just have to. I learned pretty quickly when I was in this like big long hike in the Himalayas. Like, there's a sign you can really do it. I can do it really
you can
well.
Figure it out.
Yeah. The other thing.
Sure.
I'm from Canada. I learned at a young age how to pee in the woods.
That's like part of kindergarten.
Yeah, totally.
For you guys,
your first lesson.
They don't even have bathrooms in Canadian schools.
Rarely.
They're just like
rarely
run along.
Yeah.
That's like your recess. That's just peeing time.
Everyone's just found their own bush.
Oh man, I'm glad. You know, we're talking
about, to a good start.
Talking about man things today. No, we've had a couple episodes where we've gotten into bathroom stuff and people get very heated about it.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
But let's talk about more man stuff. Just kidding. Not man stuff at all, because I think 40% of NFL fans are women and growing. And women are fans of all sports that people would maybe have stereotypically a generation ago thought of as not a female fan base. Mm-hmm. So this is definitely an issue that is germane to us. So let's talk about this. Here's my opening question. I'm going to pose it to my two guests. Whoever gets there first gets to answer first. It's a race. Given the scandals, cover-ups, and straight-up abuse that high-level sports have brought us, is it possible to be feminist and a sports fan?
Oh boy, I'll take this one
take
first.
It, girl.
Just I do a television show on Fox Sports every single day, so I get a lot of stuff all the time, and it's really difficult because you've got to know that if you're going to say something that is quote unquote unspoken, which is really just like you know how you feel, and it's probably right if you're a feminist. Being a woman in the sports world is tough, but I'll say if you want to come out there and say something, you will 1,000% get just so much crap back. Like, I know if I'm going to send a tweet about politics, about the U.S. women's national team, I have to prepare my body and soul to log off for the next day or two, especially if like a Barstool fan gets a hold of it, then it's like game over. I probably shouldn't have even said that on this podcast because now it's going to be game over. But it's
there's
just
a bunch of like antennae went up and they're like, what? Somebody.
It's just
a woman had an opinion.
I feel like trolls just get extra heated about women in sports. And if they have an opinion and it has to do with women, then it's just very difficult. So, yes, it's difficult to be a feminist in the sports world.
I mean, but I think it's you can be. I think it's like important. I mean, I almost feel like being a piece of it is like what's feminist about it, because you get this other point of view. And I feel like women are more nuanced thinkers. We're not so black and white. And like feminism is a huge piece of that.
1,000%. You just got to be like ready for the punches because they're coming.
I mean, Megan, you've done sports media also. Has that been your experience?
Yeah, absolutely. But I do think that stand-up really prepared me for the abuse that, you know, like that. So I'm just speaking as a woman and they're like, we hate you. And so I know like every deep, dark, terrible thing that anyone has ever said about me. I also think for a while now I've been preparing myself like, okay, well, this may be my last season that I get to enjoy this. And
the NFL, you mean?
Just a lot of different things. Because I mean, I'm an NFL fan. I love the Indianapolis Colts. And there's been times where I tweeted a while ago, like, wow, the demise of my team has really aligned with the demise of the NFL. The Colts, like when Peyton left and then Luck left, I was like, well, this is working out for me. It's crumbling at the right time. But then I do get sucked back in. And I think some of it is like, there's just a burden on every fan to be a more conscious consumer of what they're viewing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to watch the same that I used to, but I'm going to have to know that person did XYZ. I do not love college sports anymore. I'll probably partake in March Madness just because I do think it's fun, but I find the NCAA to be like so horrific and so evil and truly a racist, classist organization from the top down that I've stopped consuming that. And so that's just the point where I'm at, where I bought a jersey of somebody and then like a very obscure player. And then 2 days later, somebody DM'd me and was like, hey, here's this article. That's I don't know if you know. And so it's like, okay, well, that's got to go back in the closet. But that doesn't mean that that there's not the LeBrons of the world that I'm honored to put their jersey on, or a lot of men. I mean, the Longs, there's so many. And like having worked at the NFL post Me Too, I was surrounded by, as I call them, devoted fathers. Like it was a lot of really good guys, because there had been sort of a cleaning house that a lot of other industries did too. Like in some ways, I think sports, these are famous people, and so it's very obvious when they fuck up. But it's like, hey, Hollywood, if you want to watch movies, that's going to be tough for you as a feminist. If you want to eat food at a restaurant, that's going to be tough for you as a feminist.
I'll give you another example. To be a really strong feminist in the sports world, let's use Michelle Beadle for an example. Maybe some of you guys know who she is. She hosted a show called Get Up, which was on ESPN. And I don't know what set it off. It might have been Myles Garrett. Somebody hit a woman in the NFL, which happens very often. So excuse me for not remembering which one it was, but something happened, some kind of domestic violence happened in the NFL, and she refused to watch the NFL. She's like, from here on out, yes, I am hosting this show on ESPN, but I will not watch the NFL anymore. And she doesn't have a job right now.
Right.
And it's Michelle Beadle, which is, if you are a sports fan and you are a woman, she's God.
She's iconic.
You know?
I've struggled with this over the years, too. I remember when my freshman year at Notre Dame, there was an accusation of gang rape. And it turned out, it was like, immediately when the accusation was leveled, these four players got suspended. And then over the ensuing years, I don't know if she recanted her story or what, but it turned, their conviction, or their like suspensions were like overturned. And it was this whole like really ugly kind of underbelly of what colleges are willing to, my college did the right thing by expelling these players, but the attitude of all of the students was like really, really shitty. I remember being like, man, that's not quite right. But I mean, even beyond that, I had to stop watching the NFL after the Ray Rice thing.
And I
gave it up for years. And then also I was like, well, my emotional health, I can just ignore this and I'll be totally fine.
Sure.
I think even beyond the obvious like abuse cases that we see with male sports like the NFL, there are sports like USA Gymnastics, which we're watching women perform, but it turns out the cost of them getting to where they got was to endure a level of abuse that was hidden from us. So it's almost like all of USA Gymnastics felt like an abuse machine. So how do we, how do you guys encounter or deal with fandom of sports? Because it's not those girls' fault, obviously, but by watching gymnastics now, you are rewarding an organization that enabled that. So how do you deal with that?
It feels like part of it is like the way that you like execute your fandom. Whereas like I feel like there's this, like in the NFL, people are like, fuck you, like it doesn't matter, they're amazing. Or in the NCAA in particular, students at colleges are so like, I don't give a shit what about what happened at Penn State. Like I love my, you know, I love the Nittany Lions. It doesn't matter. And like I think it's more like if you have like a conscious fandom, because it's like you still want to support these athletes, the good men, all the amazing women. And it's like, but I think you can be a fan of like, let's say USA Gymnastics and still call them out. And like you can maybe even it's problematic. And like I will say, like I've come in and out of clocking out of the NFL and I've been bad at sticking to it because I get sucked back in really easily. But I am like not watching it with this lens of like it's perfect.
Yeah.
And so I think there's something to be said for being a fan, but like being a really active, conscientious.
It's also incredibly overwhelming, too, because you're like thinking about all of these problems and it's like, I'm one person. How am I going to stop? Like, these guys are going to continue to get paid. The NFL is probably never going to change. They're going to continue to pay these guys that are hurting their women and children and breaking their arms and doing disgusting
things. Also hurting themselves.
Yeah.
Hurting themselves. I mean, it's very, I think it as a woman, it's, they're like, oh my God, domestic violence is rampant and abuse of children has come up. And it's also, these men are ruining their brains and their bodies.
Totally.
Yet I am like, admittedly, still tuning in. And some of that is just, you cannot bury your head in the sand. You have to be aware of that. But we are also in a time where we are bombarded by craziness. Mm-hmm. Panic was trending on Twitter yesterday. Mm-hmm. And so it is okay to watch something that does bring you joy. I like sports because it reminds me of being with my family. And like when football starts, I'm like, oh my God, it's going to smell like leaves and chili. And all of that does make me really happy.
Yeah.
And it's okay for that to make you happy and also watch it and go, okay, I'm watching this. I would like to donate to science that explores brain injuries.
Surely.
Josh Gondelman is a very funny comedian. And during the Super Bowl, whenever a team scores, he donates to a different organization that helps women or children or science. Like, it's possible to do both of it and both of it. And you don't have to feel bad, but you do have to continue to remind yourself what you are watching.
Yes, and question the bigger organizations, even if you're enjoying the moment or something.
I mean, here, as you were talking, I was just thinking that the part of the appeal of sports for me, and Megan, you and I have talked about this before, is it should be simple. There are rules. Everybody shows up to the field. Everybody plays by the rules. And whoever does it the best wins the game. And that's it. And we all witness something fair happening. And it's simple. And you love your team. And you don't even have to think about it because you were born into it. And you love them. You just love them. And there's nothing. You don't have to think like, oh, but what is the coach doing in their in their personal lives?
It should be like that.
Yeah.
But it's incredibly unfair to us. Not to be selfish about it, that it's not.
Yeah.
And I mean, really hard to like grapple with that.
To fans, for sure. But I was just thinking that sometimes the violent response or the angry response from sports fans when you try to shatter some of those illusions comes from the fact that you're shattering their hope at like having something simple.
I think it's also like when women speak, because it's usually women speaking up about violence against women, obviously. I feel like when we send out those tweets and we raise our voices, it's almost guilting the men that love this sport so much. And it's like making them feel how we feel. And they want to get that the furthest away from them as they can, because there's no way in hell that they can give up football.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, they just can't. I can't even think about that because there's no way I can give this up.
Right.
Therefore, I'll shut out like all the nuance around it because I can't.
I mean, I know that we're, you know, football is sort of like the obvious one. There was a story in baseball this year where the Astros, aren't the Astros really showing their dicks?
Yeah.
The Astros assistant GM was fired for like verbally harassing a female reporter. Like, it really does. USA Gymnastics, golf, like, it really
tennis,
does
everywhere.
Happen in every single facet. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's a lot of reading.
Well, what was the Brandon Taubman thing, the Astros GM thing, was such an epic own goaling. Like, he wasn't the one who was alleged to have committed any abuse. And the woman who he yelled at wasn't in any way confronting the person who was. He was a third party who decided to get into
like
a woman's face.
Crazy.
But you know what is, I think, indicative of some good progress? The fact that almost everybody reasonable was like, what the fuck is that guy
totally.
Doing?
But they first called her a liar.
The Astros
came out and called her, like, this didn't happen. And then had to, like, revoke that.
But male sports writers, like, rallied around her.
Yeah.
It felt like a real moment of, like, approaching solidarity for people who are on the right side of things. And also the Astros turned out to be just a garbage organization.
Total garbage.
I agree. It turns out, like,
trash.
Couldn't hold them accountable for literally anything.
Yeah. Right. Who could have seen this coming?
In some ways, I think that's why it was easy to get rid of him, is because the writing was on the wall and people kept being like, yeah, top down. I mean, there was that Cam Newton when he was like, it's just crazy to hear women talking about.
Wild.
And then everyone, you do sort of like, obviously individuals have issues, but then there are times the Panthers, then they were opened up and it was like, you have to understand from the top down, this is the environment there. Mm-hmm. And the Astros were absolutely that. And I think that's why it was easier. So sometimes you have these teams or these organizations that are beloved and everyone's like, that's the model. That's the way to do it. And I think when there's scandals within those, it's a lot harder to take them down because they've been the quote unquote good guys, whereas the Astros were very much not already. In so many ways.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's like a standard bearer team, it like feels harder. But and yet, like, more and more, I do think you're finding that people are jumping on board in a way that it used to be. Like if a woman speaks out, there's a lot more chance.
But
that
I'll also say that it's kind of bullshit because they've been doing this for years and years and years. And all of a sudden now it's like looks good on men if you have a woman's back. Now all of a sudden they're doing it. It's just kind of,
they're patting themselves on the back while doing what they should have been doing anyway.
But it is better progress.
1,000%. Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of like, I'm amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I think that that brings us to some interesting territory because you guys, your podcast, Hall of Shame, is about scandals. And I was thinking about sports scandals and the things about sports that I sometimes bump up against. And some of them veer so dark that I'm like, is it possible to have fun with this? Are there sports scandals or like shameful moments in sports that you find too dark that you wouldn't approach in Hall of Shame?
That's a
good question.
We have like N recording episodes. We've sort of run the gamut from pretty fucking dark to like lighter, which is where we've started. But I think as we find our way, I think there'll be episodes that are a little more serious and ones that are a little more fun. Mm-hmm. But it's like kind of impossible in the world of sports to avoid some like really dark shit. And there's also just, there's topics we've covered a lot. So Kaepernick, when it was like Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf and he set out the anthem. And
in the first place.
It was so interesting, but it was almost like we started getting into territory that's been covered so frequently very recently. So we're also trying to hit things that have happened that you maybe have forgotten or that you didn't know the details of.
I was telling somebody this today. We have there's so many things that have happened. We will easily do this podcast for like 2 years before even looking up
topics. So you guys have to
topics,
listen to
you know
us.
What I mean?
Yeah. A lot
My husband mentioned Colin Kaepernick in his vows, which was a real shock. There's a photo of me like, the fuck? He calls the Colts racist for not signing him, which is very funny.
God bless him.
Oh, it was so great. There were high-ranking Colts officials at my wedding, not to pat myself on the back.
Oh, I mean,
actually, he didn't come, but his wife did. Okay, so, but you do see a lot in sports now, like, stick to sports, and, like, they can't
can.
Be. And the
you
thing
can.
Is, what's so beautiful about it is, like, they're so intertwined now that
That's
they
it.
Can't. You know, like, I look at the leadership of LeBron and Steph Curry and the things that these athletes have done since Trump was elected. And it's like, that's actually my president.
Megan Rapinoe.
Yes.
Yeah, Megan Rapinoe.
Like, these are actual leaders. This is who our children should be looking up to. They do so much, like, so many beautiful things in their communities that athletes have now surpassed politicians as role models.
1,000%.
Totally. And I think to that point, I think that's why it's been fun for us to really go back a little, because those are things that weren't talked about in the lens that we talk about things today and at WIF. And so it makes it more fun to like talk about Rosie Ruiz and the marathon, but put this layer that we just like, you know, didn't explore back
then. And you talk about dark stuff. I mean, there's like a wrestler, I think his last name is like Benoit. He had CTE.
Oh,
he ended
up
killing his entire family.
Murder-suicide.
Like, we're not going to be able to skip over CTE or like talking, because that's something that's insane that happened in the sports world. So long, to answer your question, yes, we'll get into dark stuff.
Yeah. Rechna, you have kids.
I do.
What's that like?
I mean, I had my first kid when I was like, for like LA young, I say, because I was 31.
What?
Like literally knew no one who had a kid was like, what's happening? I'd still get texts like, karaoke. And I'd be like, fuck you. I hate you. I hate all of you. And then so he's like almost 11 now.
Okay.
And then I have like an almost 3-year-old girl. And it's.
Do they play sports?
They do. He's a soccer kid and she's kind of like, you know, exploring. I mean, she just started soccer.
She's a free agent.
Yeah. She's like, you know, like call me. She's pretty coordinated. And but they love to watch, or he, because he's 11 and she's too little to really stay focused. Like, she'll be like, look at that baseball game, and it's like definitely a basketball game.
It's figure skating.
But it's the hardest thing I've ever done, and B, the greatest thing I've ever done. Classic answer, boring answer. But it's really fun to put sports fandom on them. I'll say that.
I've always wondered what it would be like to be a parent and have a kid that wanted to play a sport that made me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Or to have a kid that wanted to play a sport that had a history that was maybe a little too heavy for the kid to know.
Yeah.
And how do you deal with questions that your older, how you and your partner deal with questions that your older son might have? How does that work?
Well, I am a parent who so believes in like being giving honest answers and like giving answers that like are as much information as they can tolerate, but that are honest. So with him, I mean, at 11, like they kind of already know a lot of stuff. They hear a lot of stuff. Like his dad worked on Concussion. Like he's a marketing executive and he worked on that movie Concussion. So like through that, he was like, what's that about? And so he ended up learning. But I also feel fortunate he's a peanut. So like football's not in the mix for him. Sure. But
what if he has a growth spurt?
Yeah. But my ex-husband and I have a very similar take on it, which is we like as they ask questions, we're very like honest, like, yeah, CTE is an injury that happens to your brain and it happens from concussions. And he does play soccer. And we talked about like headers and stuff because that's like. That's not great either.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. Like growing up and playing sports, that's not ever a lecture.
No.
You all played sports. I played sports. I never got a lecture about concussions and I got like five of them.
It's going to be interesting to see kids who are like 5 years old right now grow up and see how many kids are playing football in like 10 years from now or soccer.
They're really worried because the numbers are declining.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of places. There was a very It was a daily episode.
I listened to this exact podcast.
Where a city basically banned tackle football for the kids. Kudos. And this man who was a doctor who had played football was like spearheading it. And then a few years later, they reversed it because they were like, we do actually think it's important. My husband played football and jokes all the time about having CTE. Mm-hmm. And then is also like, I want our kid to play because, and it's like, no, like I will not. My dad played college football. My husband almost played college football. I will not. And some of that, too, I don't want my kids to be gymnasts. Like, I have a friend who was a gymnast, and her body is, like, riddled with injuries.
Totally.
I played golf and tennis, and I'll be able to do that till I die. And I just think that's fun.
Huge golf and tennis fan also. Like, bring that into the mix.
So we're just learning so. I mean, kids are having Tommy John surgery at, like, 14 now. Children cannot be, like, put on this earth to be like there's kids that are held back sometimes
so they can play sports. I do think that playing sports as a kid is very important though. Like I mean I played volleyball, you played college sports as well and you know like half of my life went into sports.
It's great today. And it's really important for girls too, I think.
Yeah, 1000%.
Like one of our co-hosts here is Tian Tran, and she plays soccer now as an adult, and she played all growing up, and she always talks about it as one of the most formative experiences.
Absolutely. I mean, I just can't imagine the amount of little girls who are watching the U.S. women's national team right now to World Cup after World Cup, having Megan Rapinoe speak up against the president and just like share her words of wisdom. She's so well spoken. Her hair is pink. She is rad.
You know, like women's tennis, it used to be like everyone looked like Maria Sharapova. It's like an amazing to see these women.
Women's tennis is so much better than men's tennis. And so is like, at least the U.S. women have done so much better. Mm-hmm. It's also the most I've ever seen women permeate men's sports as coaches. I mean, they had all the NBA female assistant coaches up the other day. There's 11 of them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, we always hear about Becky Hammon. It's like, oh my God, there's all these other women. We had our first female assistant coach in the Super Bowl. Like there's women that I knew at the NFL. There's one in particular I'm thinking of, and we would always joke she's going to be the first female commissioner. But I genuinely think we have a very good shot of that happening. And so when you feel the sadness about like, not getting a female president. Mm-hmm. It is like we are permeating these boys clubs across every single industry though.
Yeah. First of all, Tulsi's still in it, Megan.
Okay, girl. Go off,
my
Tulsi.
God. Great point.
She's still in it for better or for worse. But I want to talk about, I mean, we're moving forward into this glorious future of women being more included in sports, being more cognizant of the way that they affect the athletes that are playing, the way that they handle things that the athletes do, and the way that they treat their fans. But there are also sort of, I don't want to call it a relic, but it is a little bit of a relic of the past that continues to exist and be a challenging sport, and that's cheerleading. Mm. Cheerleading is a sport in colleges that is treated like a club in a lot of cases, and these people are putting themselves in physical danger, like talk about concussions and CTE.
Oh my gosh.
Cheerleaders get concussions and CTE left and right. But at the same time, when we talk about what is a sport and what isn't a sport, people don't usually bring up cheerleading as an example of that. So do you guys think that cheerleading is something that we will get left behind? Or do you think there's always going to be a place for it? And if there is a place, what does that place look like?
First off, everyone needs to go and watch Cheer on Netflix. Yeah. And then, yes, they are athletes.
Yeah.
See, this is difficult for me because I know two cheerleaders that have been obsessed with cheerleading in the past, and they're dancers. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time, these women have grown up dancing, and as I'm sure you can assume, it's hard to have a paying job when your passion is dancing. So I don't want to take that away from anyone, because mm-hmm. that's a paying job, and maybe they're in touch with their femininity and their sexuality, and they're okay with being out there and having their boobs out in short skirts. Who am I to say that that's wrong? I think that when it's more geared towards, I think it's different. Cheerleading and like being a dancer on a Lakers basketball
girl.
Court yeah. is different. I don't know. I'm a little bit split yeah. in this because I know two cheerleaders technically. But then you have the cheer athletes on Netflix who are like obviously athletes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
this is their passion. So I yeah. just feel like I can't judge them. Like,
I mean, that kind of
cheerleading
is basically like a version of gymnastics.
It's yeah. madless it's like gymnastics.
Wild. Yeah. It's like much less safe gymnastics.
Yeah.
And you also fly through the air sometimes. Yeah. And they drop you a lot.
Why don't they just get into gymnastics? That was my question throughout the whole thing.
Some of them are for sure. Yeah. I think yeah. it's almost like, because they're talking about the dancers, the Lakers yeah. girls, and the, honestly, when I'm at a sporting event and they come out to dance, I'm like, yes, like I just yeah. like think they're so cool.
I also do. I think it's because I'm a terrible dancer, yeah. like a yeah. Carlton level dancer. Yeah.
I yeah. think it's easy to say the cheerleaders are stupid and like, what are they there for? They're there for men's attention. But if you think about it in a different way, they're out there performing in front of people. This is what they want to mm-hmm. do. No one's forcing them into right. doing this. They could find a better paying job. Let
yeah.
me tell
well,
you.
They all have to have multiple jobs.
Yeah.
So I think it's like we want them, if they're going to stay, if the dancers of the NBA and the NFL, and there's NFL teams that do not have cheerleaders.
If the Steelers and the Packers, correct?
And the Browns do not. And the
Browns.
And the Bears mm. do not. And yeah, I think that's
is
it.
Is it just like places it's so
I think
cold.
It's the
How
old.
The Vikings have cheerleaders?
It's the like original.
Those
whatever. Yeah.
Steel City.
They
places.
Have to start paying them a living wage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They have
yeah.
to be
that's
making. And it's, and like, and then people are like, well, but the people aren't there to see the cheerleaders. It's like, okay, but yes, they're doing so much. And like, they are a part of it. They need to be making as much of, if not more than the security guard.
1,000%.
Like that's, so we just have to start treating them better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We can reframe the role of yeah. that job and like what, how much they
and
get for
it. And some of their outfits are really bad.
Are they're crazy.
They're so bad. And like, yeah. I'm not even saying in a sexy way. It's just no. like, what is that look? Like
yeah.
these are really hot women. And I'm like, that is not a good look.
Wow.
So
yeah.
we gotta zhuzh it up a little. We gotta get a Project Runway challenge.
Yeah.
Challenge
yeah.
with them.
Yeah. Heidi?
I think that would be awesome. But Megan, I think your point is dead on, that it's more like the thing that needs to be worked on is not like, get those cheerleaders out of there.
Yes.
It's like, pay those cheerleaders a fair amount of money to do
yeah.
what they're doing.
And treat them better and don't make them diet and like look skinny as hell.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
just let them be
change
the dancers
what it means
that
to
they want
to
be.
A yeah. cheerleader.
Yeah, because when yeah. we see when those videos go viral of the old people dancing, it's
love.
Like, we love that too.
Yeah.
You know, like any form of dancing in a jersey, I'm into.
Yeah, there's
like,
also
yeah.
male cheerleaders
bad.
Now too that
yes.
you sometimes
yeah.
see at basketball games as well, which didn't used to happen.
Yeah, I think you're yeah, thinking of them as entertainers instead of yeah. cheerleaders mm-hmm. is important. I want to talk a little bit about scandals since it's the topic of your show. I want, like, what are your favorite, like, hilarious and fun sports scandals? Mm. They can be things that you've gotten to already, or they can be things that are on deck for you. They can just be things that are
separate. You
know what?
I am looking forward to this one that I'm about to tell you. The way that I pitched this podcast was based off of Tiger Woods, because Tiger Woods has been up to some nasties. Okay. He's gone on sexual escapades. He's had his Escalade hit with a 9-iron, all of this stuff. I cannot wait to get into that.
Yeah.
But it's kind of along those lines. Like, yes, we're going to get into the dark stuff, but I think what I really like is like the more scandalosos, like the
yeah.
juicy gossip.
This is like a little bit more like conspiracy theory, but I feel like it's sort of confirmed. But like the one that I came in and like tested with Rachel was like the story of when, and it's actually kind of sad now because Okay. Anyway, it's when it's like game five of like the 2010 NBA playoffs in Boston versus Cleveland. And like LeBron had been playing out of his mind. And then all of a sudden it was as if he was like his body got taken over by someone who never played basketball before. And the theory was that he found out right before the game that his mom had been fucking another player, Delonte West, on the team.
It's great.
And like, it's like really sad because Delonte has since sort of fallen into hard times and it makes me bummed out. But back then, Delonte was just this fun guy and they'd always show him like eating a bucket of fried chicken before the game. And he's like so fascinating. And he had like all these neck tattoos in it. And a part of me was like, go Gloria James. Good for you. Good girl.
Oh, but anyway. I love that story. Yeah. It's so, I love that. Don't Google it right now.
No. I'm not going to.
Yeah, it's dark.
But I think he's going to get help too. I mean, hopefully. Like when you saw people tweet the video, then everybody was like, hey, help this man.
Yeah, don't just like.
And by the way,
him.
That's a huge shift. I mean, the NBA, I think, is our greatest league.
Mm-hmm.
And of the major leagues in USA. And like, mental health has become a huge, like, Kevin Love wrote a whole thing about it. And like, I feel like that is like an area in like sports across the board that's just been totally underplayed. That's like starting to come up too, which I think is all this stuff we're talking about, this horrible shit we're talking about, is going to be helped by like mental health being addressed on more.
I know each NBA team has a dedicated therapist, and like I've asked an NBA player before, like, but what if you say something? Aren't they just gonna? And they're like, no, like these are like psychiatrists, psychologists in the way where they cannot violate like that privilege, and they are forced to meet with them. Like not for, but it's like you will be spending an hour with our team therapist, just as the same way
that's
you would be going
training.
To exactly.
Yeah.
And
I
so that is something I'm. Yeah, and even the NBA is absolutely in our most progressive, and they really highlight the players, which is so helpful. But they had a little hiccup.
Sure did.
I stand with Hong Kong earlier
with
this
China.
Year. So
yeah,
you do
that was not great.
That was really, really bad.
It's still like money-driven industry.
And so that is like every step forward, you also go, oh, okay, everybody does have a blind spot at something. You still see kids standing up dancing in like Clippers jerseys, and then they'll lift up their shirt and it says, I stand with Hong Kong. And I was at a game and the cameraman basically like fell over.
Yeah.
Like he was like, get away from me. Like they still are like, oh,
yeah, totally.
I think my favorite sports scandal, and this gets really dark too, depending on like how conspiracy-ish you get with it, is Michael Jordan.
Oh my God.
Michael Jordan, and like, does he have a problem? Does he not have a problem? Why was he suspended from the NBA?
Totally.
Like, what happened to his dad?
Was baseball really just a suspension because he was gambling addict?
Yeah. What happened to Michael Jordan's dad? Like, I mean, it's extremely dark, but that one is so intriguing.
It's so
we definitely want to get into like the more, like, obviously that's well known. Tiger Woods is well known. It's going to kind of like run the gamut of things that maybe you just haven't heard of in like 10 years. You know of it, but then we're going to really do these crazy deep dives. And like, you and I are big sports fans and we know some of these stories, but in the deep dive we're finding out things that we had never heard before, and it's really fun.
You're gonna solve mysteries.
We might.
This is gonna be like, I have a favorite. One of my favorite Colts players is rumored to have murdered a man, Marvin Harrison.
We're going
to
talk about
that. Will you let me know? Will you let me know?
I'll find out.
Okay, because, and this is what, this is an example of me being a conscious fan. I love Marvin so much. And so whenever I bring him up, I'm like, well, Marvin Harrison, is rumored that he murdered a man. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to say both of those things in the same sentence.
Mm-hmm. The good with the bad.
That's a way to be a feminist sports fan.
I think so. just like a human.
Just to circle back to where we started. Yeah.
If you're an announcer, then you have to say, asterisk, here are the crimes that this person might have. It's an excellent play, but he may have done all of these things that are very, very bad. You know what I'm excited about you guys to get into? I'm excited to get into, like, Cold War era fuckery. Like, the East German swim team. Holy
shit. Wow. Yeah.
All the fuckery of, like, men's cycling.
Yes.
There's so many things that we can get into.
We're
good for a while.
Taking the blood out of their bodies and putting new blood in.
Yeah. That is wild.
The IOC is so crazy.
I mean, Olympics alone could be like its own podcast.
We keep on running into all, and like, we don't know if the Olympics are going to stay this summer, but if they do, like, we should probably just do a month of Olympics.
Are we going to Tokyo?
You got to go to Tokyo.
I mean,
I'm going to stay home. You can do you.
It might be contained by then.
We might be okay.
I think it'd be good if the Olympics just got canceled.
Yeah, period.
Just
that's
overall.
Another thing that we keep on running into. Like, Olympic athletes, you talk about dancers, like, they're treated like shit too, yeah, and not paid well. And
yeah, they spend like their entire lives preparing for the luge.
Yeah.
Race, and then get disqualified.
Then it's good. Then it's over. And then what? Do you go back to school?
You know? Yeah. You always know how to spell luge.
Yeah.
Which that's something.
Yeah, that'll come something in handy.
I was telling her that my like high school computer teacher, because I'm so old that we had computer teacher, like computer class. He was like a silver medalist in like speed skating.
Yeah. What?
And I was like, and now you're my.
Yeah.
Computer teacher. What a bummer.
If they have to cancel the Olympics, I hope they still run all the human interest stories. Yeah. I love those. Yeah. It's like a skeet shooter, and I'm like, yeah, I can't believe his dad.
I know somebody that's going to be in the Olympics this year. She's a beach volleyball player, and I know she's been training her entire life.
Beach volleyball is interesting, though, because they can make a lot of money, right? Because there's also a professional league.
Technically, every Olympian could make a lot of money based off of like sponsorship. So if you are good enough, then.
But certain leagues, like
she can still compete
sports,
during the year, yes.
Like, certain sports have money, more money.
They also say there's more fucking going on at the Olympic Village than at the Playboy Mansion.
I know, we did the Ryan Lochte story a while ago.
Oh, yeah, I love that story.
Guys, you guys want to know, I was the one who first wrote the article that was like, Ryan Lochte is America's sexy douchebag that went mega viral.
Oh, my God.
That was me.
Thank you.
That was a blog
post. We talk about it.
This girl thinks he's super sexual.
Listen, it's been a long time since I was single, so I'm still, like, recalibrating.
Look, he is, he appeared on an episode of 30 Rock as a sex idiot.
Yeah.
We talked about that.
He had his own show.
Yeah.
And, I watched it.
And at the beginning of it, there were, like, screenshots of the article I wrote, and it was like,
wow.
That's so cool.
Where's my, you can't even.
Where's my credit?
Can't even give me a hug about this. No, it's fine. I'm over Ryan Lochte. It's totally
fine.
Okay. Well, I think that's all the time we have for the sports discussion. I'm so excited to listen to more episodes. I've already listened. How many are out now? Two?
Yeah.
Two.
I've listened to halfway through the Rosie one and just chef's kiss.
Yeah.
It's about cheating in the Boston Marathon, which is cheating is a great fertile area. When people cheat, it's
a lot of
like,
cheaters out there.
A lot of cheaters out there.
People cheat when there's so many cameras. It's like, okay, man. Yeah.
I saw a guy with a Livestrong shirt on yesterday and I was like, he's got a lot to read.
My dude. Let me give you some, a pamphlet.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, the hills will die on. Okay, we're back. We've reached the part of the show where we get really petty about stuff that isn't supposed to matter, although mine does matter this week. But I'm breaking the rules. It's my show. First, let's listen to our listener hill.
Hi, Hysteria. The hill that I'm going to die on is that people need to read their fucking emails. If somebody takes the time to highlight, bold, underline, italicize, or otherwise direct your attention to a specific section of an email so that you will follow the directions and then you respond, clearly having not read that email or following those directions, you are wasting the sender's time. Just read your fucking email and stop being a jerk.
I'm going to guess this person's profession. I'm guessing they're a teacher. Or like a college.
I'm going to guess they're an actress.
Wow. I was going to guess marketing.
Yeah. It could be marketing or like HR. Somebody who's like trying to get people to do things.
I was thinking HR. That's where my brain went.
Yeah.
I wonder if people ever like hear their coworker on this and be like, are you mad at me?
Is Susan talking about me?
Like, what sounds like my boss?
Oh man, that would be, I don't think I recognize very many people's voices well enough that I'd be able to tell unless I was like,
unless it was like my boyfriend.
Yeah. There's some people.
Imagine your boyfriend calling in and the hill's about you.
Like, my hill is my girlfriend's a bitch.
Yeah. Now that's one we would definitely play on this show where feminists get together and talk about stuff.
How your girlfriend's a bitch.
Bitch of the week. Do, do, do.
We got to do a bitch of the week. Wow.
Alyssa and I do fuck that guy. And sometimes the guy is a girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
The guy, I think,
that's fair.
Has been, it's been Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Yeah.
Sure.
Kellyanne.
Kellyanne.
That's truly feminist. Fuck that guy can be a girl.
Yeah, guys can be anybody. Okay, I'll go with my hill. It's like not petty, it's serious. But okay, we are living in a time. God, I hate, that's a bad way to start anything. So we're living in a time of a serious pandemic. mm-hmm. of a virus that people have literally no built-up immunity to. It is very, very dangerous, and it's going to spread to a lot of people. And the best thing we can do is to slow down the spread by being as careful as we can. That includes you not traveling. If you don't need to travel, that includes you. It doesn't matter if you're really excited to travel. It doesn't matter if you've been planning this for a long time. It doesn't matter if it is not essential travel. You do not travel. You Preach. Do not, even if you're not worried about your own health, you don't want to be a vector mm-hmm. that leads to the death of people. Like in Kirkland, Washington, they're wheeling bodies out of a long-term care facility on stretchers. That is because somebody was a vector at some point. Don't be the vector. Like, put it off for as long. Wash your hands
Very
really
selfish.
Well. Yeah, don't. It's like the same mentality that leads to people being anti-vax. Like, look. We all got to be in this or it's going to fuck everything for everybody. Mm-hmm. So please don't travel if you don't need to travel. We just think about everybody else. Think about people besides you.
Yeah.
And that's the hill I'll die on this week. Or we're all going to die on the hill if we don't.
Literally.
That's it. Yeah. Anyway, let's I'll stop.
Mine's
being so
dumb.
Scoldy.
I'm not following that up. That's
I'll
a good one.
It. I'll follow it. I don't care. And I'll tag onto your hill. I'm going to tag onto your hill and then I have my own hill. Stop being like, it's just old people. Guess what? I love old people so much. Yeah. I love old people more than any kind of people. And if they die, that is really sad and really bad. And just because you're not old doesn't mean it matters. Those are all my friends and all my viral videos that I like. Okay. Also, I think movie theater popcorn kind of sucks. Yep. I would rather have a hot dog.
What?
I'd rather have curly fries there. I'd rather have nachos. I like the popcorn that I make at my house better.
Okay, that's fine. But
is it the butter? Like, what's wrong?
I just don't think it's that. I just think there's better options at the movie theater. We got pretzels, pizza, jalapeno poppers,
you
curly
sound
fries.
Crazy.
I know.
Theater?
I know,
are you going but, to curly?
Oh,
fries?
I go to some wild theater. Oh, first of all, I went to a theater and ordered the curly fries, and they said we never had anyone order these. So I'm like, it's on the menu. I just don't think because it's all the same stuff that's at sporting events. But when I go to a sporting event, I'm not getting a tub of popcorn.
Yeah,
I'm getting a hot dog.
Yep. Okay. I'm with you.
It's so much easier to eat hot, like
I do love
in the
popcorn
dark.
At a theater.
I just have a Pavlovian like the second I mm-hmm. enter and they rip the ticket. It's like, I need popcorn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You smell it in the air, the butter.
Yeah.
Mm. I've evolved.
Okay.
I'm past it.
Good for
All
you.
Right. If I saw somebody eating a hot dog in a movie theater, I would call the police.
I have
really?
Had a chili cheese
oh,
dog.
I
oh, same.
I'll
go popcorn
hot
and hot dogs.
Yes,
I just
yes,
always
yeah,
have
yeah.
to have popcorn.
Well, because that's an appetizer. Popcorn's an appetizer.
That's
and
like
a hot
when
dog
I'm skipping dinner.
Course.
When
You'll
I go to a 7
entree.
P.m. movie, that's dinner.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Rechna, do you want to go next?
Sure. My hill is that chill is the most overrated virtue of our generation. Mm-hmm. I think chill is an excuse to be apathetic. Mm-hmm. I think
okay,
it's an excuse
Mom.
To be thoughtless. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. This is my transformation from young woman to old woman right here. It's happening. I think chill is like a reason. It's like a way that people it's a virtue that people get put on people that are like don't have feelings. It gives people an excuse to be like straight up rude sometimes.
That's
you know who
point.
Ghost people? Chill people. I think chillness is overrated. I get tired of it. I get tired of people bending over backwards to prove that they're chill instead of feeling whatever it is they feel. And
I
by
like
the
this.
Way, be passionate.
Yeah.
Give
like
a
that.
Shit.
I like that
be
one.
Be invested.
I'm mm-hmm. on that hill too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Rachel?
Okay. My hill is the, and hear me out with this one.
Okay.
All birds that fly can just be eliminated. So we still have chickens.
Wow.
We still have chickens. Every other bird that takes flight can peace out of this world. And I'll tell you why, okay? I walk my dog every single morning. This MF mockingbird, I think it's a mockingbird. People have told me it's a mockingbird, has decided to have a little nest on my walkway. I've been here for years. Okay. This bird just showed up out of nowhere and attacks me. It must be having babies or something, but I don't have time to go out of my way to take a different route every single day. So I deal with this bird. I put my hood up and my dog and I just book it past this bird and it will fly. I have video proof.
Wow.
I have video proof that this bird comes after me every single day. And it's just made me think why birds in the first place, they literally shit on you because they have no respect for you. They probably have an agenda with their beady little eyes. They stare at you. Why do you have them as pets?
I would argue best animal to get a tattoo of.
Why would you ever? Anyways, birds, they can.
I'm afraid of birds.
I can. Same.
Oh my God.
They come out of nowhere. Birds I will say, this next beautiful. Door neighbor had a pet bird. It was this like white, beautiful bird. And there were signs on like a post one day that it had gone missing and like a very scary description of what had happened. It was like, our bird has gone missing. A falcon came after it last week. Was a falcon in your house? I don't know the whole story. Please let us know if you heard anything. When I came out my apartment that morning, before I even saw this sign, there was white feathers everywhere. Ooh. In front of our apartment.
Could have been a cat. Cats kill tons of birds. I am extremely pro-bird, and
oh,
here's why.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Well, when I was a kid, we had chickens. We raised them.
I said birds that take flight.
Well, I like flying birds, too. Okay, so here's what's cool about... First of all, I'm reading a book that's about chickens right now. It's a novel. It's a very weird novel. It's called Barn 8, and I'm really enjoying it. It's about, like, it combines, like, heists, veganism. I'm not a vegan, but the vegans are main characters in this book. And like factory farming. And it's really, really good. It's by Deb Olin Unferth. But birds, their shit helps transfer seeds. The reason that forests like flourish is because birds are shitting seeds out. That's very important.
There's other ways. Mice can carry seeds. I'll do it.
Not as far as you'll do
it. I will grow the forest.
I'm going to tell that fact to my kids tomorrow morning, and they're going to be like, oh my God, mommy's so smart.
Also, birds, owls are awesome. Owls are objectively cool. They're the cats of the sky. Their heads can turn like almost all the way around.
Which is cool or terrifying?
I think it's awesome. They eat things that are considered vermin. So owls eat a ton, like mice and rats.
Mice are super cute.
They spread disease. Owls kill them. Yeah. You guys need
your own spin-off podcast.
Birds. Just call it.
There's literally a horror movie called
very scary.
Birds.
Birds are very scary.
Well, it's because birds are basically small dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs, yeah.
They're dinosaurs.
I'm not saying that they
dinosaurs
can't be on this
extinct.
Earth, but I'm very afraid of them.
Yeah.
Well, they're delicious, too. So, okay. Rechna, Rachel, and Megan, thank you so much for stopping by. Thanks to Alyssa Master Monaco for calling in, and thanks to you for listening. There will be more Hysteria for you next week. Hysteria is a product of Crooked Media. Caroline Reston is our producer. Our editor is Sarah Barrett, and Kyle Seglin is our sound engineer. Thank you to Juliet Beckstrand for production support and to our digital team, Elijah Cohn and Nadina Melkonian, for filming and editing our video content every week. Get me some. Give 'em a-